Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God who is the head of my life, to the deacons, mothers, to everyone in their respective places. Amen. Young people, children, follow your teacher. She's in the back waving. Amen. I'm thankful to see as many out on this Sunday. God is still blessing us. Amen. God is still real. Amen. Amen. Regardless of what we face or what happens, we still serve an awesome God. Amen. Amen. We should be thankful to God. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Psalms 91. I'm just going to read one verse. I'm reading from the King James Version. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. For the reading of God's word. Amen. We are children of God. We are in a dwelling place. Amen. It's security for us. Many of us have heard of the Witness Protection Program. I have a guy who I grew up with. He is in the Witness Protection Program. Changed his name and identity and everything. I really don't know where he is because he's in that Witness Protection Program. Amen. When I spoke to his brother, that's all he could say to me, is that he is somewhere. But we grew up together, friends. So what I knew him as who he is, he's no longer that. But I'm getting to a point here, that witness protection program. You know, is when someone has some information about someone and it's very key and vital. And it's when that person is fearful of their lives and they are then put into a witness protection program to protect them. So it's a witness who sees an event, typically a crime or a accident that may have taken place. I believe it was back in the early 60s where the Federal Witness Protection Program was established to relocate and give new identities to witnesses who risked their lives by giving testimonies as well as providing financial and employment and aid. So the Witness Protection Program is the process in which witnesses, such as those who testify in these criminal trials, are protected against intimidation for their testimonies of criminal retaliation. According to the Federal Witness Protection Agency, no program participant following security guidance has ever been harmed. Y'all ain't shouting now, but you will. While under the active protection of the Marshals Service, nearly all the witnesses who were harmed had failed to fully comply, oftentimes contacting old acquaintances. Amen. However, we must sever all ties with old friends. Amen. Sever all those ties with old friends. In the Bible, it says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I would do a new thing. And now it shall spring forth. Amen. When it says spring, it's coming forth. Amen. Nothing is going to hold a spring back. Amen. So someone may be saying, what has this got to do with church? The witness protection program. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. God's witness protection program. The whole purpose of the program is to protect someone whose life could be in what? Danger. Because of some testimony they offer as a witness against someone else. In exchange for their testimony, they're given a new identity. Amen? See, we are new creatures in Christ. New life. We're not the same as who we used to be. Amen? We've given a new identity in Christ. Those who, who've been born again know what I'm talking about. See, we're hidden from those who might want to get back at us. Because, see, now we're under that witness protection program, which is with Christ Jesus. So in the spiritual sense, that's what God has done for us. Remember, a witness is one that gives evidence. One that testifies for the prosecution in a criminal case. So understand that you were created to give God glory. Amen? Satan doesn't like that. Amen? He doesn't want you to give God glory. So he's going to do something that, y'all ever heard this before? Tamper with the evidence. Amen. See, you were created to give God glory. But see, what you don't understand is that Satan is getting ready to try to tamper with the evidence. You were created to give him praise. But see, he tries to tamper with the evidence that you're trying to praise God on. You were created to be a witness for the Lord. You were created as evidence to furnish proof of justice, how good God is. So you were created to give testimony of how the devil has tried to take your life, but God has delivered you. God has made a way for you. As we always say, made a way out of what? God has healed you and did what? Set you free. So you were created, you were not. Let me get this into your head. You were not created to be a drug dealer. I don't care how much money you make. You were not created to be a drug dealer. You were not created to be a pimp or a player. You were not created to be a gangster or a thug. You were not created to be to get rich or die trying. Y'all heard that before. You were created to give God glory and to make his name glorious. So you are a testimony of the evidence of how good God is. Amen? You are the evidence that's walking around here on earth that Satan wants to tamper with. Well, what do you mean tamper with? Well, if he can get you to sniff a little bit, if he can get you to drink a little bit, that's tampering with the evidence. Amen? That's getting you off of what God has created you to be. So he's tampering with the evidence. You were created to be a witness for the Lord. In God's witness protection program, you don't have to be afraid. There has never been a case where a witness in God's witness protection program has ever been hurt as long as they stayed in the wheel. Amen? As long as they stayed in the wheel. Just before Jesus returned to heaven, he explained to his disciples that they were to do something after he went to heaven. And he was talking to them. What he said to them, he also says to us. He left us on this earth that we might be his witness. So we are God's witness. He uses people like us to convince other people like us to believe in him. So we are God's witness, his evidence, if you will, to convince an unbelieving world. Listen to the words of Jesus in Acts as he imparts this to the followers. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. Basically, what God is saying, he's going to impart in us power. The Holy Spirit. See, at first you were afraid, but when the Spirit comes upon you, it doesn't matter who you are around. It doesn't matter where you are. When the power of the Lord comes upon you, if you scream and shout, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. Amen? You're just letting off a little expression. Amen? Nothing wrong with letting off a little expression. That's what God created you for. For expression. So the Holy Spirit empowers the disciples, just like it empowers us. Spirit-filled disciples witness about Jesus around the world. See, at first they were all in this little hiding place. But when the Spirit descended upon them, it actually separated them in a sense. What I mean separate, I mean it got them out of their room to do God's work. So what we need to understand, our greatest need today is not for political power, but for the power of the Holy Spirit. See, political power can change leaders, but it can't change nobody's heart. It can win an election. That's what political power can do. It can win an election, but it can't save a life. It can pass righteous laws or repeal unrighteous ones, but it cannot make men righteous. Politics cannot change the way people think because it touches the outside of life. But let me tell you something. Politicians cannot change that. Only the Holy Spirit can change a person's heart and restore family and save the entire nation from destruction. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. There is no politician here on earth that can do that. So the definition of a witness, let's be clear. one who has seen or heard something, and one who furnishes evidence. A witness is someone who can say, I know this is true. Amen? And you can't tell them otherwise. See, witness tell the truth, and if they are good witness, they will tell nothing but the truth. Amen? Y'all remember the blind man? When Jesus told him to go and go into to the pool to put something on him, and he put on his eyes, and he healed him and touched him. And then you remember his testimony. You remember the blind man's testimony. He said, I was blind, but now I see. He was a witness. And let me tell you something. This is what people will do to you. These people, the Pharisees, they wasn't satisfied with what his testimony was. So they tried on three occasions to make him doubt what he believed. Three occasions. Leaving a man alone. He didn't told you. But it wasn't good enough. So they kept going back to him. They even went to his parents and talked to his parents. Parents were saying, that's a grown man. I'm paraphrasing. That's a grown man over there. He's got a mouth. Go talk to him. He'll tell you. The man, they go to the man again, and he said, hey, a sinner, I don't know. But what I can tell you is that I was blind, but now I see. They were trying to take his witness, but he knew what he knew. He know what he know. Nobody could take him off of what he experienced. All he said, hey, hold up. I was blind, but I'm telling you right now, I can see. Whether Jesus was who he was, I don't know. But the man healed me. He would not allow him to take him off his witness. He protected his witness. He kept it near and dear to him. You know, that's what folks would do. They'll try to tell you what they want you to tell. I remember when I was talking to a police officer, and I don't have nothing against him. I don't have nothing against him. But I was talking to a police officer, and I was telling him what happened. So the police officer was telling me what happened. He wasn't even there. And I paused for a moment to collect myself and repeated the truth again. And he still insisted that that's not what happened. And I'm saying, yes, it is. That's what happened. So much so that the lady who did it told him what was happening. She said, I bagged into him. The police said, no, you hit her. I said, he wasn't even here. Lord have mercy. I know what happened. What I'm trying to tell you, I never allowed this policeman to take the truth from me. Regardless of how much authority and power he had, I can only tell what was the truth. The truth was she bagged into me. I did not hit her. She even told the police officer, I bagged into him. He comes to me, so you hit her. No, I did not. What I'm trying to get you to see is that people will try to take you off of the truth. The devil knows that Jesus is real. He knows that he has rose from the grave. He knows that the devil knows this. There's people that's walking above ground that don't want to believe it. But even Satan know it. But Satan doesn't want you to believe it. Why? Because it's the truth. You want to know why they couldn't keep Jesus in the grave? Because you can't bury the truth. No matter how many times somebody may try to lie, that truth is going to keep coming up. It's better to tell the truth the first time, because I'm going to tell you, I can't remember a lie. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I can't remember a lie, so it's best for me to tell the truth. So I'm telling you here this morning, he's alive. He's real. Because if you try to bury it, all it's going to do is keep resurrecting. You cannot bury the truth. The truth will speak for itself. Who woke you up this morning? It wasn't, I got news for you. It wasn't an alarm clock. That's what Satan tried to do to the disciples. Take the truth from them. Persecuting them. Telling them all, what you see is not what you've seen. They touched this man. They saw his resurrected body. They saw him ascend back into the Father's hands. You mean to tell me you're going to try to tell me that that's not true what I'm looking at? We take all this. A witness is a person who tells the truth about Jesus. See, here's the thing. This is what I like. You don't have to be a theologian to be a witness for Christ. You don't have to have a college degree. Amen. You don't even have to go to seminary school or be a missionary. It doesn't require you to be all of that. But you know what? Here's the thing. You don't have to have an IQ, a high IQ. You know, you got some people say, well, you got to have this and that to get into this. But to be a Christian, you don't have to have all that. All you got to do is this. Tell the truth about Jesus to anyone who is willing to listen. That's where witnessing always begins. See, here's the thing. Have y'all ever noticed this? Every salesperson knows you can't sell what you don't believe in. Amen? The best salespeople are those who believe in what they're selling to the point where they're not selling anything. They're just simply talking about what they know to be true. Amen? They're not selling anything. I used to be over the sales team. I wasn't selling anything. All I was doing was telling you what was true. So it was no longer selling to me. It was telling the truth. So as Christians, we are not selling anything. All we're doing is really telling the truth about Jesus Christ. So it's the same way in the gospel. All God is asking us to do is be a witness. If you know Jesus, you can talk about what he has done for you. Amen? Don't let nobody tell you anything different. You know personally what God has done for you. You can share how he's changed your life. You can tell how he guides you day by day, how he gives you strength to face your trials. You can talk about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. You can talk about that. You ain't selling them. You're just telling them what God has done for you. So let me add a word of advice. You don't have to convince your friends that they need Jesus Christ. There's a big difference between telling and selling. If you do the telling, then the Holy Spirit, that's where he comes in, and he'll do the selling. Amen? That's all you got to do is do the telling. And then the Holy Spirit will be like, okay, he told, now I'm finna come in. Now I'm getting ready to do the selling. You don't do the selling part. Just like, you know, you got most people, they love to, people love to fish. Like Bob Day. Just had to buy a house with some water in the back. With some fish. Wasn't enough to have a few little fish. He had to go and stock it. Amen? And so what I'm saying is he loved to fish. You know, as I told you before, he can put his hook out there. He ain't got to put no bait on it. They line up and grab it. Just come on up. Me, I put bait on my hook. They laugh at mine. They go and pick mine off. The hook is still there. I ain't got nothing. That's how bad it is. But my point, and I'm trying to get you to understand, many people catch fish, but nobody likes to clean them. Amen. I remember Bob had us cleaning fish. He caught about 20-some fish, and he had us. He said, this is what we're going to need.
So I'm cleaning the fish in the backyard. I'm scaling them. Stuff popping all over the place. I'm smelling like fish, like I should have been in the water or something. And I'm scaling these fish. But my point is, I didn't like the cleaning. Because you had to scale it, and you had to cut it, and you had to get the gut. You had to do all of that stuff. Then you had to put it over here in this pile. Then you got to fight the flies and all of that. In other words, I'm saying it's a stinky job. Amen? It's a stinky job. But the fun part is being out there. That's the fun part. Am I right? That's the fun part. Now you got it. It's flapping around and everything. You know, don't you move. You're just flapping around. But my point is, now you got to clean it. God is saying, you catch them, I'll clean them. He will clean them. Amen? Let him clean them. Don't do God. Do you. You like the fish? Then go catch them. And then let the Lord clean them up. Amen. Don't the fish taste better when somebody else do the cleaning? Amen. It tastes real good. Amen. I had some fish last week. It was good. And I ain't do none of it. All I had to do is sit down and partake in it. But somebody had to go out there and catch it and clean it. Amen. Remember, he's God, we're not. So all we got to do is tell the truth about Jesus. And that's not hard. Tell the truth. Amen. You know when somebody is telling the truth. Amen. Just know to tell the truth. If you're going to witness for Jesus, it means being loyal to the end. Amen. So here's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. In the early churches, the believers, this is what they did. They chose death rather than deny the name of the Lord. They was like, put me to death. In other words, they were saying, you're not going to take this truth from me. I know what I know. You're not going to tell me that. If it means die, then so, Lord, let it be. Some of the greatest messages that we are studying came from people that said, that's the way you're going to do it, then kill me. Because they said, like Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Amen? He was ready to leave here for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, he said, hey, I've done a lot of stuff. But man, that stuff is behind me. Putting those things behind me. He said, that's behind me. He's pressing towards the mark. So what I'm telling you is that don't allow people to take you from the truth. So then what I mean by that is that, see, you get into God's witness protection program. My mind goes to Joseph. His very own family turned against him. Nothing hurts more than having family members turn against you. His brothers were jealous of him and cast him into this pit, then sold him to slavery and lied to their father and said that he was dead. He was gone. But Joseph was in God's witness protection program, and in the midst of his trials and in the midst of his enemies, God protected him. He protected him. As I said, anyone that's in God's witness protection program will not fear any harm to them. If the federal agencies can put you in witness protection program and protect you and nothing happens to you, the only time something happens is when you step outside of that protection. So as long as Joseph stayed in the will of God, he was protected. Amen? So then I thought about some other people that was in the witness protection program. I thought about baby Moses. Amen. At a young age, didn't know no better. Was a baby, and he was put in God's witness protection program. Pharaoh trying to kill the Messiah coming through. But God protected him in his witness protection program. And here's what I like about it. God is so clever. God is so good. God is so great. I can continue on and on. But here's my point and what I'm trying to get to. God made the enemy foot the bill on Moses. That bill was on Moses. On Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, okay, that's where you want to play it. You're going to foot this bill. You're going to pay for his upbringing. You're going to pay for all of his learning and everything. You're going to feed him. God had his man right there in the house of the enemy, making the enemy take care of him. You can't tell me that we don't serve an awesome God. So my mind goes to another one that was in the witness protection program, and that was a man named Daniel. Daniel was told, you better not pray 3 times a day. Doing too much of that. King found out that Daniel was praying 3 times a day. He said, King, guess who's praying? Remember Daniel, your boy, that you like? Yeah, I saw him praying just a little while ago. He just finished a little bit ago. Yeah. Lord, you don't have to do something about him. God put him in a witness protection program. Amen? Protected him. I'm trying to tell you, God protected him. Put him in a witness protection program where the king said, Daniel, hey, man, this is hard on me, man, but I got to do something, man, because I can't go back on my word. But I hope that the God you serve is real. And I hope that he's going to be with you, because as a king, I got to do what I got to do. And I can hear, just in my own mind, do what you got to do. Amen? Because I'm going to do what I got to do. So he put him in the lion's den, but in the witness protection program. To the enemy, it was a lion's den, but to God, he changed it into a master suite. So it turned out to be a bedroom for Daniel. This is the witness protection program. So guess what? I decided. I said, Lord, can you put me in the witness protection program? Because I no longer want to be in this darkness, in this world. See, Lord, I want to be in this witness protection program with you. I want to be underneath your protection, underneath your covering. In other words, Lord, I'm surrendering everything that I have unto you. So, Lord, here am I, your servant. Use me, Lord, for your glory. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Why? Because I'm in the witness protection program. So let's compare the federal witness protection program with God's. See, the federal witness protection program, let's just say this, it protects people. But see, the other thing about it, it relocates you to another place. Relocates you from the darkness. See, we need to understand that God also is going to relocate us. Amen? This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Amen? We're just passing through. We pilgrims. This is not a resting place for us. There is a place that God has created for us that eyes have not seen, nor ears have not heard. He's saying, I'm going to relocate you in my witness protection program. Then he's going to give us all a new identity. We're going to get a lot of new stuff. A lot of the old stuff we ain't bringing with us. Because a lot of new stuff is going to be on us now. God is going to provide for us everything that we need, everything that we want. You ain't going to have to want to do anything. Why? Because you're going to be with the Lord. It's going to be like Mephibosheth sitting at the table. Well, how long can I sit here? As long as the Lord is on the throne. But the one thing that we must do If we want to be in God's witness protection program, we got to do this. We got to sever all of our ties with that old folks that we used to run with. Let me say this. You need to sever ties with your old self, too, because you know your old self like to show up and like to show out. You need to tell your old self, you ain't coming here no more. I'm a new person. I'm born again. But once you enter into the witness protection program, you can no longer have any more contact with those of old. You can't, you got to leave it alone. Let me say this to you. You can no longer, you should no longer have any more contact with your old self because you've been born again. That old man is destroyed. He's gone, crucified, buried. We are walking in new life. One other thing that we all need to do, we need to repent. Amen? That's something that folks don't like to do. Folks don't like to repent. Folks don't like to say, I'm sorry. Folks don't want to do that. They don't want to say, I'm godly sorry. But you must be born again. You must be baptized. See, the Holy Ghost changes our identity and turns it into a new creature. God is calling us into his witness protection program. The reason why God has chosen us to be his witnesses is because he wants us to display God's glory among all the nations and to the world. Amen. God wants us to let this light so shine that others may see that when you walk in a room, even if you don't know what to say, the presence of you being there will speak more for you than any words you can put together, any sentence you can put together, any person that's majoring in English. I'm gonna tell you something, your presence will do more than what the words that they can put on paper. Because when you are walking in the light of Christ, let me tell you something, that will draw people more so than your words. We need to understand this as I close. All of us long to feel safe. We want to know that we are protected from danger. We want policemen's protection, protecting our streets so we will feel protected in our home. The restaurants we attend have safety inspections, so we feel protected when we eat. The cars we drive have to meet safety standards, so we feel protected in case we are in an accident. We want to feel protected from foreign invaders, so we emphasize the importance of strong defense. God has given us a powerful weapon to use against Satan attacks. We are not to try to figure out everything. Rather, we are to set our eyes on the great cloud of witness already in glory who have made it through with their faith still intact. Amen. Many times you may not be able to read. You may not see as well. But the one thing that you have is your faith. Believe in God. Don't let nobody take that from you. Don't let nobody take that witness from you. Keep that near and dear to your heart. Amen. Every first Sunday, we partake in the Lord's Supper. The reason why we do it on the first Sunday is because we are to give God our first.
not our seconds, not our leftovers, but we are to give him our first. So I encourage each and every one of you to give him your first. And we are to do this until he returns again. We know not the day nor the hour that he will come. Many times we say that we are looking for him to come in the cloud. Many of us may not get that opportunity. So we don't know when he will come, but we know that he will come. But the one thing that I would say is make sure that you're ready when he comes. Because today may be our last day.
Never lose. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Of Jesus. Aren't you glad you're in the Witness Protection Program? It's a good place to be. As we look at what communion represents, it says the bread represents the body of Christ, our healing, the unity of believers within the church, and the wine represents the blood of Jesus, the remission of our sins. Remission means to be released or set free. The fellowship, communion, is remembering what Jesus did for you, for us. And we're so happy to know what he did for us today. Amen. So as we come to take communion, let us examine ourselves, remind ourselves of what Jesus did, what it means, and then take a look and make sure that we're in right standing with God so we can take it knowing that nothing hurtful or harmful will come to us because we're doing it in right standing with God. Heavenly Father, Holy God, we thank you for the word we heard this morning. We thank you that we're in that protection program, that program that's based on your blood, the blood that you shed for us, for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. And, oh God, we thank you that we're able today to come and know that through your sacrifice, we're able to have a clean, wholesome life, knowing that you alone are the only one that can be our protection, that we're in the secret place of the Most High, and we're abiding under the shadow of you, O God. We praise you, we honor you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let us all stand and follow the direction of the ushers. Let us all stand and follow the direction of the ushers. Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
We're just going to take this few minutes to open up the doors of the church. We're going to take a few minutes to open up the doors of the church, extend an invitation to Christ. Whosoever will, let him come. At this time, we are opening up the doors of the church. Is there one? Amen. Let us all stand.